Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, it is now 9 o'clock and I see others are trying to join in. We're going to go ahead and get started on this another day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it and glad in Him. I'd like to say happy Father's Day to all of the fathers on this day. God bless you, each and every one. And good morning to everyone. I'm glad that you all are here. I've been preparing and I've been studying, getting ready for you. So we're going to go right into our study. Class starts, as you know, at 9 o'clock. And we go to about 9:55. 9 o'clock to 9:55. We will be continuing on Zoom until you hear further word. Now, if by some chance that you don't get an invitation from me, I'm trying to send one to everyone, but if by some chance you don't get one, the meeting ID number is always the same. So just come on into Zoom Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Today, we're going to continue in our study from Luke chapter 9, and our study today, verses 1 through 6, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and also verse 10. But I'm going to go ahead and include in our study today, verses 7 through 9. So we'll be looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. So good morning to those who are joining. Glad that you are here. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus on this another day. It's a beautiful day that you have made. We thank you for keeping us through the night, watching over us, Lord. And we thank you for waking us up to see a day that we've never seen before. It's a brand new day and a day not promised to us, Lord. But you woke us up, met us with your mercies, your goodness, and your love. And we want to say thank you. We thank you for Jesus above all, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We thank you for the risen Christ today. Jesus lives. He lives forevermore. We praise your word, Lord, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And we ask you now by your spirit to be our teacher, leading us and guiding us in truth. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise. We pray for all fathers who are in Zoom class with us this morning. We pray God's blessings upon each one. We ask you to help these dads, these fathers, grandfathers, even maybe great-grandfathers, to be the best that they can be in you. And Father, now we praise you that we can together say, our Father who art in heaven. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to continue. I ask everyone should be on mute. And that's way the way it will be pretty much for the entire class. If there is a point where I ask if there's questions or comments, unmute yourselves, identify yourself, and then go ahead with your question or comment. But for the most part, we don't have a lot of time for questions, for comments. So I encourage you, if you do have one, to feel free to email me. Just send me an email, vsanders875@centurylink.net. And I will respond to your email via question or comment regarding the lesson. Well, let's begin today. Luke chapter 9 is our current chapter that we're studying from. And we have seen that Luke chapter 9 is a transitional chapter. Prior to that, we're going to see new things that we've never seen before in chapter 9. We know that Jesus was anointed for ministry. Back in chapter 3, he was the anointed by the Holy Ghost for ministry. Jesus begins his public ministry in Luke chapter 4. And it is in Luke chapter 4 that he goes to the synagogue and he proclaims the book of Isaiah is given to him. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And Jesus goes on reading about himself and proclaiming his mission statement regarding public ministry. Then in chapter 5 of Luke, we see that Jesus calls his first disciples, Peter, James, and John. That's in Luke chapter 5. Then Peter, James, and John, of course, they follow with Jesus because that's what the word disciple means. The word disciple means a follower, an imitator, a learner. And so the disciples, once they are called, they follow on with Jesus. Also in chapter 5, Jesus calls Levi, who is also Matthew. And Matthew joins in along with the others until we go on further in Luke and we see all 12 disciples. So Jesus is with the 12 disciples. We know that there are other disciples, but out of the other disciples, Jesus calls 12. And we talked about that number 12 on last week. So Jesus and the 12 disciples continuing on, Jesus is doing all the ministry. And that's one difference we're going to see in chapter 9. In chapter 9 of Luke, for the first time, we see Jesus commissioning the 12 disciples to go forth and to do as he has done and to say as he has said. So in that way, Luke chapter 9 is transitional because we see Jesus commissioning the 12 disciples, taking them out of the classroom, as it were, and launching them forth into their own in the field ministry. They have to do it for themselves. Now, we'll be looking today at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. I do not know how far we will get, but regardless, on next week, we are going to go on in our study, starting at verse 11, looking at the Jesus feeding the 5,000, that great miracle that starts in verse 12. So that will be for next week. Today, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Now, there are parallel scriptures that work with this scripture. And if you have a reference Bible, your reference Bible will give you the parallel scriptures. Now, everyone may not have a reference Bible, so I want to let you know what those parallel scriptures are today. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. And also Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Those are parallel scriptures. Now, just for a moment, let me talk about the Gospels once again, because we have people in our Zoom class that are on different levels of study. Some are just beginning to study their Bibles. All of us need to hear it again and need review. Some, this will be the very first time that they've heard what I'm going to say. There are four Gospels. We know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four Gospels. And within the four Gospels, primarily, we hear about Jesus Christ, God the Son, when he became a man. That is what the Gospels is telling us, how it was and what Jesus did when he was up on this earth. I have said for several weeks in the Gospels, you will see the genealogy of Christ. You will see the conception of Christ. You will see the birth of Christ. You will see the baptism of Christ. After the baptism of Christ, you will see the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, 40 days by the devil. After the temptation of Christ, this is what's in the Gospels. After the temptation of Christ, you will see Jesus launched forth into public ministry. Public ministry continues all the way until you get to Palm Sunday. And then after Palm Sunday, we enter into the sufferings of Christ, then the crucifixion of Christ, then the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ. That's what's in the Gospels. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of those four Gospel writers, three of them were Jewish, Matthew, Mark, and John. Luke was a Gentile. Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. He was a Gentile. The first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels. That's S-Y-N-O-P-T-I-C, Synoptic. Well, when you think about the word synoptic, now I remember learning this in school, grade school probably, there would be the prefix and the suffix. And when you look at the word synoptic, you have first of all the S-Y-N. And when you think of words that start with S-Y-N, for example, synonym. So synoptic has to do with like synonym, meaning the same. That's what a synonym is, words that mean the same. Same sound, mean the same. Same, mean the same. So synoptic, you have syn, S-Y-N, same. Then the suffix is optic. Well, when you think of optic, and like I just adjusted my glasses, you think of obstacles. Your glasses, your eyeglasses. Can't quite get that word, opticals. So optic, vision, sight, seeing. And so you have the synoptic gospels, meaning Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are like the same. They work together. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are given their perspective, but they're synonymous. They work together. So as you're reading the gospels here, we're in Luke, it's good to go back and see, well, what did Matthew say about it? And what did Mark say about it? John is in a whole different category. John is recording about the Christ from the divine perspective, divine. And he sees when John opens up his gospels, he skips over genealogy. He doesn't go back to Adam and all the genealogy. John opens right up with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so John is like that flying eagle, those four living creatures around the throne. John is on a whole nother perspective, but still one of the gospels. Now, having said that, we are looking at Luke, studying Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. But let's take a moment and go back and see, well, what did Matthew have to say about it? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Well, before you go to Matthew 10, let's read in its entirety Luke chapter 9, and then we'll go see what Matthew and Mark said about it. So just follow along with me reading Luke chapter 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, beginning at verse 1. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him, Jesus, all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And so that's Luke's recording of chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Now the Holy Spirit in his wisdom has seen fit to have Matthew also give a recording of these things. So let's go back to Matthew and see what he says in Matthew chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Now, when you're studying scripture, and I'm not going to do this every week simply because we do not have time, but I want to take time so we can see how these parallel gospels work together. In Matthew, and you do need each account, and you need to see what all the gospel writers said about it. So in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew is given his account of what happened. Both are true, but it's from different perspectives. And so Matthew says in chapter 10, verse 1, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And so if we stop right there, we would say, yeah, that's what Luke said. Luke said the same thing. But then Matthew takes the time in verses 2, 3, and 4. Matthew records for us the 12 disciples by name. Luke did not do that in chapter 9. One reason is Luke had already done that before in one of his previous chapters. But Matthew here in chapter 10, he lets us know exactly who the 12 are. Then we look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. And chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. Now, that's something that Luke didn't tell us. Luke didn't tell us that Jesus explicitly told those 12 disciples, don't go to the way of the Gentiles. And we know of one of those Gentile territories from studying Luke chapter 8, the region of Gadara. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, Jesus told them, don't go to the Gentile area. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, well, where do we go? Well, he says in verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so Jesus is telling the 12 disciples exactly where he wants them to go to do what he told them to do. They are to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so Jesus gives them the exact text that the sermon. That's the scripture. That's what they're supposed to preach. They're supposed to say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Now, we notice there that Matthew said something that Luke did not say. Matthew included raise the dead. And so when you're studying in Luke, well, Luke didn't tell us raise the dead, but Matthew did. And you know, it's like, I can't say it all. We need to come together, and you give your what you saw and what you heard. And Matthew gave what he heard, and he heard Jesus say, raise the dead. So that adds another element. Then verse 9 and verse 10 are pretty similar to what Matthew said, what Luke said. But at the end of verse 10, well, let me read verse 10. Nor bag for your journey, nor the two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff. For a worker is worthy of his food. And so Matthew lets the disciples know, when you do the work, you're worthy to receive some food. Someone should feed you. And then Matthew goes on saying some more things. And you need to read those when you have the opportunity. Well, let's see what Mark says, because Mark has something to say that Matthew didn't say and that Luke didn't say. So let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 is another one of those synoptic gospels. So Mark chapter 6, and let's look at verse 7. Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 7. And it reads, Mark 6, verse 7. And he, Jesus, called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, I believe we all know this. Mark let us know, because if you just read Luke, and this is part of why you need the whole Bible. You need to read the entire Bible. And these synoptic gospels working together. Well, Mark is telling us something that Matthew didn't say and Luke didn't say. Mark lets us know that Jesus said, don't go out by yourself. He sent them two by two. And so we have the 12 disciples but we have six pairs. There are six pairs. They go out not alone, but in pairs. So we see them dispersing in six different groups of two, six of two. So Mark lets us know Jesus sent them out two by two, gave them power over unclean spirits. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey. And then we go on down to verse 10. And he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. And let's go down to verse 12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And see, Mark is letting us know, preach that people should repent. So you notice now the sermon. The sermon is being lengthened. They are supposed to say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But they also said repent. And Mark told us that, whereas Luke did not, or Matthew. So verse 12, they went out, they preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now, Mark brings in anointing with oil. And you normally don't think of in the Gospels that they anointed with oil. You think of that in the New Testament church, in the epistles. But here in the Gospels, even back before Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised, there was the ministry of anointing with oil the sick. And Mark tells us that, whereas Matthew did not, and whereas Luke did not. So let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Now, I wanted to take time to do that. As I said, I will not be able to do that every week. But each week when I send out the invitation for Zoom, I'm going to start including the parallel scriptures that work with that passage. So I encourage you to not only read what Luke says, but read the parallel scriptures as well. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Now this entire chapter 9 of Luke, the theme of it, if I had to put a theme on it, it is talking about the disciples. Many things about the disciples, those 12 disciples of Jesus. Well, we're going to focus on the first 10 verses. Last week, I gave an outline, and this week, I'm going to give an outline, but I'm changing it somewhat. In Luke chapter 9, the first two verses, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And so part of our outlining, now I'm going through and we're outlining our scripture. And we can see here, Jesus is commissioning the 12 disciples. And if you have a Bible that has headings, mine says the 12 sent forth. Same thing. Jesus is commissioning the 12 disciples. And he's commissioning them to do what? Do what he did, because Jesus did this. Jesus had power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And that's what Jesus is sending the disciples to do, the same thing that he has done, and also to say what he has said. And so in verse 2, it says he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to preach the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus was doing as well. And so verses 1 and 2, Jesus is commissioning the 12 disciples, and he is sending them forth to do what he has done, do as he has done, and to say as he has said. And so Jesus is doing what? Well, I'll put it in quotes. He is extending. He is multiplying himself. He is multiplying his work. He is multiplying his ministry. Before, it was only Jesus who was casting out demons and healing the sick. But now it's Jesus plus the 12. And so it's a multiplication of the work and the ministry of Jesus. So that's in verses 1 and 2. Jesus extending and multiplying his work and his word. But then we get to the next division of this scripture, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Jesus extending his ministry in verses 1 and 2. But then when we look at verse 3, 4, and 5, and in my Bible, that's in red letter, and we have Jesus's exact words, and he is giving the 12 disciples instruction. Yes, he commissioned them in verse 1 and 2, and last week we looked at those commission words. Verse 1, he called them, and that's his right. Jesus calls who he wills because he is Lord, and he called these 12. Why come he didn't call another group of 12? Well, the answer is he's sovereign. He's God. He calls who he wants, and he doesn't ask anyone for permission. His father had no doubt told him who to call. And so verse 9, Jesus called and Jesus gave them power. Verse 2, he sends them. But now in verse 3, 4, and 5, red letter, Jesus has further instruction. Yes, I want you to go. Yes, I want you to say this and I want you to do that. But let me tell you something else. I'm going to give you further instruction. So verse 3, practical things. He says, don't take anything for your journey. Don't take staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not take two tunics apiece. And we'll say more about that before our class is over with today. So he's given us specific practical instructions for that particular commission. Now, the instructions will change based on where Jesus is sending them. But for this particular mission, don't take a whole bunch of stuff. That's what he's telling them in verse 3. And then verse 4, further instruction. Well, where are we going to stay? So he tells them, whatever house you enter, stay there and don't depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And so Jesus in verse 3, 4, and 5 is giving them further instruction. And if you had to divide it even more, verse 3, he tells them what to take and what not to take. Verse 4, he lets them know, whatever house you enter, stay there. So no doubt there was someone who accepted them and received them. But then verse 5, on the other side of the coin, there's another group who will not receive you. Everybody didn't want them, want the disciples. They didn't want to hear what they had to say, and they didn't want to receive what the disciples were sent to do. And so verses 1 and 2, Jesus is extending his ministry. He's commissioning the 12 disciples. In verses 3, 4, and 5, Jesus gives further instruction. Verse 6, the next part of this passage. In verse 6, so they departed. And you can see, okay, scene change. They departed and they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. What towns? Well, that's where Matthew let us know. Go to the towns, Israel towns, Galilee, stay in those Israelite towns. So verse 6, the disciples, they had received the instruction, but now they are obedient. And so that's what verse 6 is. They are obedient to the commission and they are obedient to the instructions. They departed and they went where Jesus told them to go. They preached, that's the word. They said what he told them to say. And they healed, they did what he told them to do. Okay, so that we see in verse 6, Jesus, the disciples, fulfilling the disciples, doing, being obedient to what Jesus had told them to do. Now Herod, okay, now here's another, you can tell the tone of the text is changing. And now all of a sudden we see another character. Matthew didn't mention him and Mark didn't mention him, at least the passages I read. But right here in Luke, because when you look at verse 10, let's skip down to verse 10 for a moment. Verse 10 says, and the apostles. Now in verse 1, we see they were called the 12 disciples. But when you get to verse 10, now they are also called the apostles because they were commissioned forth by Jesus to do a particular work and ministry. So verse 10 says, and the apostles, when they had returned. And so that lets us know that they returned. They told Jesus all that they had done. And so mission accomplished. They had a successful mission. They did what Jesus told them to do, and they said what he told them to say, and they returned back to their Lord, back to Jesus Christ, okay? But in between verse 6 and verse 10, we have verse 7, 8, and 9. And here comes something else, someone else. Now Herod. Now, if you think of Herod, and there are several Herods, like Pharaohs. There's many Pharaohs, and there's quite a few Herods. But when the Gospels first open, we hear about a Herod who ended up slaughtering the children, those 2 years old and under. So we know about something about Herod. And every time Herod shows up, it's not good. Well, now here, right in the middle of Jesus commissioning his disciples and sending them forth, verse 7 says, now Herod. And here comes like it was a shadow over the text. Now Herod, the tetrarch, political, this is governmental here. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, Jesus. Herod had got word. And Herod now is a type of the devil. He's a type, he's not the devil, but he is a type of the devil. Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him. Because you remember the first Herod in the Gospels had heard that a king was born. And he wanted to know, who is this king? I'm the king. What you talking about? Another king has been born. Well, this is a different Herod here, but he also heard about everything that was being done by Jesus. And now it's not only Jesus doing things, it's Jesus plus the 12. And you know, word was getting out, and Herod, you know, word does get out. Herod heard of all that was done by him, and he was what? Perplexed. He's perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Now Herod's talking to himself, and Herod said, John, I have beheaded. See, that's that wickedness. And the reason he beheaded John because of his own sin. Herod said, John, I have beheaded, but who is this? That's that question that pops up again that was also in chapter 8. Who is this? And in chapter 9, here comes Herod wondering, who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. Now, this is a shadow of darkness coming on, because as we move on further in the Gospels, because we saw in chapter 9, here, if you look at verse 22, chapter 9, verse 22, for the first time in the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus lets us know what he must do. And so in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And so for the first time, Jesus foretells and prophesies of his crucifixion, his sufferings, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. Well, where is that going to come from? Well, there's many answers to that. But here, Herod pops on the scene right here in Luke chapter 9. Now, for a moment, just go right over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. If you go over to Luke chapter 13, and we'll say more about Herod in weeks and months to come. But if you go to Luke chapter 13, verse 31. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. On that very day, some Pharisees came. Now, you know, we haven't heard a lot about those Pharisees lately, But, you know, here we see them here. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." See it right there? Herod wants to kill you. And so when you go back to Luke chapter 9, here's this enemy coming on the scene. Well, this is right in the middle of a lot of good. It's good. Chapter 9, I'm back in chapter 9. It's a good thing that Jesus has called someone to carry on in his name. It is good that Jesus has sent someone and equipped them with power and authority. It's a good thing that Jesus gave them power, gave them authority to heal sick people and to cast out demons. All of that is good. He sent them to preach the good news. That's a good thing, to heal the sick. And then right on the scene, verse 6, they departed and they did that. And verse 7, lo and behold, it is a spiritual law. This is a law. You know the law of gravity. There's natural laws. And one of the natural laws is the law of gravity, where there's also, and the law of gravity, what goes up must come down. There's also spiritual laws. And one spiritual law, there are many, but one spiritual law is when you would do good, evil is present. That is a spiritual law. When you would do good, evil is present. And so right here in the middle of all of this good, here comes evil on the scene. Now, Herod couldn't stop the work because the disciples had been sent forth by Jesus with power and authority. But don't fool yourselves. Evil is taking note. Someone is taking note of the good that we are doing today. And primarily, it's the wicked one. And his objective would be what? To stop the work. Stop the work of Jesus. You can do a whole bunch of stuff, but don't do what Jesus wants us to do and don't say what he wants us to say. And so we see here in Luke chapter 9, right in the middle of good, here comes this dark shadow, as it were, in Luke chapter 9, verse 7, Herod. And verse chapter 13 let us know Herod wanted to kill Jesus. And so we see the start of this because Jesus tells us in Luke 9:22 that he will be killed. And but he also say and raised again on the third day. Now let's go back again to verse 1. So that's our outline. We saw in verses 1 and 2, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 10. Let me review the outline. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus commissions his disciples and he extends, multiplies his own ministry, his word and his work. In Luke chapter 9, verses 3, 4, and 5, Jesus gives explicit, specific directions for that particular mission. In verse 6, they depart. So they are obedient. The disciples are obedient to do and say what Jesus told them to do and say. In verses 7 through 9, we see the enemy observation. He's observing and he's curious what is going on. And no doubt he begins to plot. And then we see in verse 10, the disciples return. And so they are successful and they fulfill what Jesus gave them to do. All right. So let's go back now to verse 1. Now, that's why I said next week we're going to go on with verse 11, because we could spend months, maybe even a year in verses 1 through 10, but we have to go on, move on, can't say it all. But let me go back to verse 1. He called, Jesus called. Well, we talked about calling on last week. He calls who he wants to call. He called the 12. He called out those specific 12. We learned last week, 12 is the number in Bible of government and of structure. In the Old Testament, it was the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. From Israel came the 12 sons, those 12 patriarchs, 12. It was 12 of them, those 12 sons, those 12 patriarchs. And God was laying the foundation for the children of Israel. Now we get to the New Testament, same thing, government, structure, order. And we see now not the 12 patriarchs, but instead the 12 disciples. Jesus himself, chief cornerstone, and the 12 disciples. Now Jesus gives them two things. He gave the disciples power. That's one thing. But he also gave them authority. And we need to know the difference. Well, power, you know, bread of life, the speech card, we say power. You know that very word, power. You got to put something to get that P out. Power. So power is the ability to do. Power is the ability to do. Now, they couldn't do any of this unless Jesus gave them the power. Because powers, this kind of power, all power really comes from God. But in order to heal the sick and raise and cast out demons, they needed some power. And Jesus gave them power, meaning he gave them the ability to do it. He gave them the ability to act. He gave them power. And even now, I think about it right now, I'm speaking, and to speak takes power. It takes the very breath of God to speak. I mean, it takes God to do that. And so he enables us to do things. It's the enablement of God. But he also gave them, they got some power, but they also had authority because Jesus gave it to them. He gave them power, which is the ability to do. But he also gave them authority. And authority means what? Authority, if you have authority, you have the right to do it. You can do some things, perhaps, but you don't have a right to do it. You don't have a right to do some things. You have to have given authority. And so Jesus gives them the power to do it, the ability to do it. But he also gives them authority, the right. It's legitimate. He legalizes their ability to go forth and heal and to cast out demons. So Jesus does what? He equips them. He commissions them. He gives them power to do it. And then he gives them the authority to do it. Now, if Jesus gives you power and authority, no one can stop it, even though Herod's going to try to do it. They were able to do what Jesus commissioned them to do. Now, this is how Jesus has been working all along, with power and authority. So everyone, make sure you're on mute. So let's go back to Luke chapter 3. When we go back to Luke chapter 3, now we may not get through all of these verses, but if you on your own, especially if you have a concordance and you trace that word power and authority, you will see it working all throughout Jesus's ministry. Luke chapter 3. So when we go back to Luke chapter 3, verse 21, Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now, you're not going to see the word power here, and you're not going to see the word authority, but power and authority is certainly in this verse. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Now there's power. Jesus is what? Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. Yes, he is. He is the Christ. Christ meaning what? The anointed one, the Messiah. He is always the Christ. He's always been the Christ. But here we see him what? On the verge of public ministry. Because after the baptism comes the temptation, chapter 4, the temptation of Christ, and then public ministry. But before Jesus went into public ministry, he had to be equipped by the Holy Spirit. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost now upon Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And now we see Jesus, the Christ, he is the Christ, but he now is being equipped by his Father and by the Holy Ghost to go forth into public ministry. And that's what Jesus is doing with his disciples. He's equipping them first, as he was equipped at his baptism. So that's in Luke chapter 3, but let's go on to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Luke chapter 4, and we've looked at this passage several times. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Okay, chapter 3, Jesus is anointed. He is anointed for public service. In Luke chapter 4, the first verse in the public ministry portion of the Gospels, according to Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him, just like in chapter 9, when Jesus was going, Herod heard about it. Same thing starts in chapter 4. Verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues. And so we see Jesus now fulfilling what the Father and the Spirit have commissioned him to do. Verse 18, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus says, the Spirit, Holy Ghost, power, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the anointing. Jesus was commissioned. He was equipped before he did public ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach, to heal, to proclaim, to recover, to set at liberty. And so Jesus is doing to the disciples what had been done to himself. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Keep going, because this is all throughout till we get to chapter 9. Luke chapter 4, verse 36. Luke chapter 4, verse 36. And it says, Luke chapter 4, verse 36. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Then he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with what? Authority. There's that word, authority. So Jesus is anointed. He has power. And he also, his word was with authority. And then we go down to verse 36. Verse 36, chapter 4 of Luke. And it says, then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is, for with authority, that's what? Authority is what? The right to do it. Well, how did he have the right to do it? Because he had been anointed by the Holy Ghost, sent by his Father. And so Jesus has the right to do it because the Father commissioned him. The Father sent him. The Holy Ghost equips him, and that's the power. So for with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. Luke chapter 5, let's keep going. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Now keep in mind, up until in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is working. Jesus is doing the ministry here, and it's Jesus alone. But when we get to chapter 5 now, we're going to see the disciples. Jesus begins to call his first disciples. So Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, now it happened, Luke 5, 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So how could the disciples heal anyone? It takes God's power to do it. Power, it takes the Holy Ghost working to do it, just like Jesus worked. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Let's go down to verse 24. I'm going rapidly, but we're going. Luke chapter 5, verse 24. Luke chapter 5, verse 24. But that you may know, Jesus is talking, and he says, but that you may know And the reason he's talking, let's look at verse 21. Chapter 5, Luke. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this? Isn't that what Herod said? Herod wants to know, who is this? Well, Luke chapter 5, verse 21. Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, and then he goes on and says what he says. And let's go to verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Now, where are the disciples? The disciples are where? Well, Jesus has called those early disciples, and they're doing what? Looking at Jesus. They're observing Jesus. They're learning. They're listening. Look, listen, and learn. And so they're being prepared, probably not really knowing one day they're going to do the same thing. But now they're observing Jesus. They're listening to him. They're looking, and they are learning. Let's keep going. Luke chapter 6, when we go on over to chapter 6, verse 19. Luke chapter 6, verse 19. And this is Luke 6, 19. And the whole multitude, there's a whole bunch of folks, the whole multitude sought to do what? Touch him. The whole multitude sought to touch Jesus. Why? Because what? Power. Power went out from him. And in the power of Jesus, anointed by the Holy Ghost, that's how people are spiritually and supernaturally healed. It takes the Holy Spirit. And power went out from him. And so Jesus himself, anointed by the Holy Ghost, had authority and he had power. Let's skip on over to chapter 8, Luke chapter 8. We go to chapter 8, and all the time the disciples are looking, listening, and learning, observing, and not really probably knowing they're going to do this someday themselves. So when we go to Luke chapter 8, verse 46, Luke chapter 8, and this is, we studied this, we just left chapter 8. A couple of weeks ago, in Luke chapter 8, verse 46, and you all remember the woman who had the issue of blood, and she said, if I can just touch his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. So Luke chapter 8, verse 46, but Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. And all this time we've seen power, 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 power of the Lord, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 9. And let's, as it were, pass the baton, not fully, because the disciples aren't fully ready yet to go forth without the Christ. Jesus still has a lot to teach them, but this is their first time into the field. They're going into the field without Jesus. And Luke chapter 9, Jesus, verse 1, Jesus equips them. He authorizes them. They have every legal right to do what they're going to do. They have the power to do it, and they have the authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Okay, now let's bring, our time is going. We only have 2 minutes. So how does this relate to us? Well, verse 3, let me say this real quickly. I encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. We too have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So read Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. In closing, Luke chapter, now I'm going to finish all these verses in 1 minute here. Okay, verse 3, Jesus said, don't take nothing for your journey. Don't take a whole bunch of stuff. Don't take staffs, don't take no luggage, don't take any food, don't take any money, don't take a bunch of clothes. Don't take anything for your journey. Now they got to go to all these different towns. Why come they can't take a suitcase? Why come they can't take some food? Why come they can't take money? Because God wants us to learn, and his disciples had to learn, depend on him. We have to learn to trust in the Lord. If he sends us on a mission, me, you, all of us, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And he sent them and he said, don't take stuff. And the reason is they have to learn. They got to grow up and learn how to depend on Jesus, how to depend on God for food every day, how to depend on God to give them a place to stay. And that's in verse 4. God had to give them a place to stay. And everyone didn't receive them, but God had somebody that would have a place for them to stay. That's verse 4. Other people rejected them. That's verse 5. And so they go out and do. So our time is up for today. Lord willing, on next week, we're going to start at verse 11 and move on. There's a lot more that could be said in these verses. So I encourage you to study on your own and pray on your own. Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you on this Father's Day that we can together say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ask you, Lord, to show us who we are in Christ. Show us what we're supposed to do. What is our mission that you would have us to do, Lord? And it follows the same in line with the mission that you first gave to that first disciple. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So help us this week to follow you, and help us too to be fishers of men. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can unmute yourselves, everybody. Amen.
Amen.
For, his word.
Amen.
Amen. It's a good